Good morning. We will call the Sussex County Council meeting of June 17th to order. First thing will be the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. Good morning, Council. We can amend the agenda under my name, item number two. There is no administrator's report today. Delete administrator's report. Otherwise, no other recommendations.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of June the 10th, and you have the correction that were made the minutes of May 13th. Any questions on either one of those? Entertain a motion to approve the correction to the minutes of May 13th, 2014, and approve the minutes of June 10th, 2014. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion?
No.
Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Did you say no?
No questions.
No questions.
So I say yes. Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Yes, I have no questions.
Yes, I have no.
Mr. Moore, correspondence.
Sorry. Yes, Mr. President. There is one. Dear Council members, the May 27th, 2014 issue of the Delaware Wave reports in an article attributed to James Fisher, the News Journal, that each council member has a discretionary budget account of $30,000 to give out as grants to community organizations as they see fit with full council approval. If this is a policy of the council, we're writing to express our objection to this discretionary earmark policy. We're not opposed to a specific percentage of the annual budget being allocated to worthy community organizations that provide valuable services to the county, but we question why five council members should have the authority to tax all citizens in order to provide grants to their favorite organizations. Certainly, this policy at least has the potential to allow some members to buy influence or votes with general tax revenues. We would like to know when this policy was established and why it should continue. Has this policy ever been openly debated in council? Further, do we as citizens in the county have any say, or can we put this issue on the ballot for citizen approval? The May 27th, 2014 wave also mentioned the 2015 discretionary account budget for each council member will be increased from $30,000 to $35,000. This is a 16.6 increase. Can you explain how this is justified? In summary, we encourage the council look at this form, look at this from the position of concerned citizens, and do away with this earmarked discretionary accounts. And adopting an open, transparent budget line for community grants that is a limited percentage of the annual budget, with each grant request meeting specified published criteria and submitted to the council at a scheduled meeting for a vote, with no specific council member getting the credit for an earmark and the potential conflict it implies. Sincerely, Alfred and Florence, and I'm afraid I'm going to butcher last name, so I'll spell it Fallavo. L-I-L-L-I-T-A.
Anything else?
No, that is all, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from the council? Mr. Phillips, correspondence.
Got one from John Thurgood, councilman in Millsboro. I sent a letter to all the council members, mayors, town managers in my district about the councilman grant issue, asking them if they felt that it was a bad program. I sent a list of the organizations in my district that had received money, also the human service grant, and I have not gotten any negative feedback from the council members in the district. In fact, Mr. Thurgood says, Vance, I checked my town hall mailbox yesterday, and I did get your letter. I agree, local communities, not big government, make a better society. The local people like yourself know what the county needs better than someone from Dover or people that are just moving into this area that really don't understand Sussex County living. But they want to change what we believe in, and they don't really know what they want, but they think Sussex County is doing things wrong. He goes on to praise the county for its good works, and just felt like that needed to be made part of the record.
Could I add,
Mr. Cole,
just to follow up, do we have anything in writing clarifying maybe Todd or Everett, you know, the discretionary account, maybe an explanation of what it does, because it just seems like when you read these letters to the editor or a newspaper writes something, it's like where they said we give money away as we see fit, which is obviously not the case. And is there if there is there anything in our, like, policy, you know, or whatever, so if you could find something, I think we ought to post it maybe on our website that this is what the discretionary money is used for and explain it. And so I would, if we don't have something, put it on the website. Maybe Chip could look into that.
We could certainly put on the
that
website.
That would clarify some of these issues.
We certainly have criteria that's followed by Mrs. Jennings when the grants request granted to her. But, yeah, we can put on a website. It's no big deal, I'm sure.
Yep.
But okay. It seems it gets confused.
Any more correspondence? Mr. Wilson.
One question I didn't quite get through. Did they say we have raised the funds?
There was an indication in the letter that the amount was being increased from 30 to 35,000 for the 2015 discretionary account budget. That's proposed.
Well, I could tell them that they evidently don't know what they're talking about. For a separate reason, when we came on, Mike and I and Joe, we cut the discretionary funds exactly in half. It was what, 75,000? We went to 35. So it's a.
Or 60, I think.
60.
So anyway, we went exactly in half. So to say we increased it is exactly, they don't exactly know what they're talking about. Yeah. I got one more thing to say.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wilson.
Frank Talon worked for the county.
Uh-huh.
And his him and his wife had an accident. His wife was killed this past
Saturday morning.
And his wife died, and Frank's in Christiana Hospital, I understand, is in critical condition. Works for his county, and I feel that we are to maybe take a moment here to pray for him. I think he's our fellow employee.
Please have a moment of silence for that, I think. Sure. Yeah, that's fine. Is that okay with everybody? That's, yeah, okay. We'll do that. We'll take a moment of silence and certainly pray for our employee who is in critical condition, Christiana Hospital. Mr. Lawson. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for that thought.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business for me this morning is the Planning and Zoning Commission appointment. Today we have a consideration for Mr. Wilson's appointment. At this time, Mr. Wilson is nominating Mr. Michael B. Johnson to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. His term will take effect June 1, 2014, for a term of 3 years. Unless there are any questions.
No questions, sir.
I can read the motion.
Please read the motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Michael B. Johnson to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission effective June 1, 2014, for a term of 3 years.
Entertain a motion. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll say yes. I think he's done a fine job.
Good.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll say yes. I think he's moving in the right direction.
Mr. Wilson?
I'll vote yes, and certainly I did recommend him, so I recommend him yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
That's because Leighton told you had to.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what.
Anything else, Mr. Lawson?
No, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Godwin? Wastewater agreement.
Mr. President, members of council, I do have one wastewater agreement for your consideration this morning. This is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the landings at Pepper's Creek, aka the marina at Pepper's Creek, Phase 3, Revised Construction Plan Agreement Number 516-4. The developer here is Mr. Bobby Horsey from Laurel, Delaware, and the location is the south side of County Road 336 and the east of County Road 335A, the marina at Piney Neck Road. This will become part of the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District, serving a single-family subdivision. The system connection charges total $714,000. We do have approvals from Sussex County's Engineering Department, as well as DENREC, and we're expecting just 60 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $10,238.25, with a proposed construction cost of $68,255. I do have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 516-4, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and HKS4 LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the landing at Pepper Creek Phase 3, revised construction plan, aka the marina at Pepper's Creek, located in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
I do have a bill that, from the legislature that I want to share with you. I alerted you of this bill last week, but now it's been formally introduced and has a number. It is House Bill 405. I find it a note about our legislature. When one chamber has introduced over 400 bills in one general assembly, but be that as it may, that's their business. House Bill 405 is the first leg of what would be a constitutional amendment, and I'll read the synopsis to you. It says, this bill is the first leg of a constitutional amendment that eliminates reference to the county elected office of Clerk of the Peace. Contemporaneously, in the second leg of the constitutional amendment, the implementation language will be filed as a separate bill to maintain a marriage bureau in each county under the Secretary of Health and Social Services. So I need to know if you want me to engage the General Assembly in your opinion. Do you have an opinion or not? And I guess you'll have to maybe think about this. It is scheduled for a hearing tomorrow. It will be heard tomorrow in the House Administration Committee at 1 o'clock. It's very late in the season, as you know, mid-June, but I would imagine if the energy is behind this bill's primary sponsor is the Speaker of the House, so I would imagine that it will have some energy behind it. I will leave the...
Where would the Marriage Bureau operate out of?
I would imagine...
Provide them still?
It doesn't say in the bill, but I would imagine it would be somewhere, probably still in Georgetown, but it would be a state office.
Oh, it wouldn't be here then?
No.
I think it's a financial concern.
I think Mrs. Jennings could probably answer that question from our point of view.
That department, I've gone back to 2010, and that department has lost money, except for the current year. We expect to have $20,000, but that we figured it was just an anomaly for this year, and then going forward, we're looking at about a $42,000 loss. Every year.
And well, we could give it to the state, and they could lose more money.
Have you heard from our elected Clerk of the Peace?
Yes, I have.
And his opinion?
He said he does not oppose this.
Oh. So all three counties are in favor. The clerks are in favor of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't spoken with the other two counties, but our Clerk of the Peace told me yesterday on the phone that he does not oppose this change.
Okay.
And Mrs. Jennings, am I correct in that there's been some large capital expenditures made in the last couple of years to adopt a new software?
The new software. And we showed $114,000 loss that year that we had to buy the software. But excluding the software, we see about $20,000 to $30,000 loss in the past.
And Mr. Brady mentioned yesterday he thought there was still some more capital investment to be made in that.
That I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. But in any event, it doesn't appear to be a income producer for us.
Okay.
So.
This is an anomaly.
Yeah. If you want me to, I can just be quiet, or I can oppose it, or I can support it.
Does that mean the rest of Wills that is going to be the chief, going to make more money?
It doesn't say that in this
bill. This is rumors. I've heard that the other two are not capable of not going on. They're going to retire. And our Clerk of Peace is going to move up and going to be the head of this whole state. And he's got a permanent job without being reelected.
I haven't heard that, sir.
Well, that's rumor pretty strong somewhere. I just what I hear.
I have what I hope you'll receive as good news about the Wetlands Advisory Committee.
Good.
As you remember, we discussed this last week, and our discussion was added to by Mr. Ross. And the question that I needed to answer before the Wetlands Advisory Committee was whether or not we agreed with the recommendation to offer some changes to what is Title 30 state taxes. We discussed the details of this proposal. which would allow a tax credit for wetland owners at a rate of 40% of the fair market value of their property. Mr. Ross discussed he thought that that should be 100% because it would give the property owner a larger incentive to offer an easement or a fee title transfer of the property to protect it in perpetuity. When we met in Dover on last Wednesday, we were all nodding our heads that we agreed with the 40%, and I also chimed in that we were willing to discuss another number. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ross made his presentation for 100%, and we adopted that. So, 100%. The point is, the committee is going to recommend to the Secretary, O'Mara, that he recommend to the General Assembly that this value be given to the property owners of wetlands at 100% of their value. So I think that's exactly what you asked for.
Sure.
And the, oh, and by the way, it passed unanimously. Our chairman, Mr. Parkowski, said this was certainly an occasion for a celebration because we finally got something that the entire committee agreed on. And secondly, there was a discussion, and we followed up with a recommendation about mapping of wetlands. There have been questions for years about how they're mapped and who pays for the mapping and so forth. The recommendation that we've sent forward was that DENREC shall map the wetlands in Delaware and offer assistance to property owners in determining if they want to participate in the incentive program or not while seeking verification from the wetland property owner on boundaries. There have been a number of questions in the past, from what I hear, that if a wetland is delineated, the person who actually owns it might not agree with that delineation. Well, this recommendation says that they have to include the property owner's input in verifying the boundaries and to let them help establish where the wetland is and isn't. So we felt that we also agree to that unanimously.
I got a question. It just came to my mind. You're talking about giving these incentives, whether it's 40%, 100%, or whatever, mm-hmm. to the landowner if they've got wetlands on their tract. Did they ever specify that there was a minimum size? I mean, does a single-family home lot owner in a subdivision maybe who had wetlands on their property that can they apply for this?
And tenth of an acre.
You have to have a tenth of an acre.
If it's a tenth of an acre,
wetland has to be tenth,
yes.
Not just the size of the tract that has wetlands.
Yeah, the wetland should be one tenth of an acre to be qualified as a Category 1 wetland. Mm. That's the way I understood it anyway.
Okay, so because, yeah, it just seems that, all you know, everybody's benefiting from this, but somebody could have a lot with wetlands in the rear of it, and they should be able to take advantage of some of this, too, not just benefit the large landholders.
Right.
So, but you say a tenth?
I think I remember them saying that a tenth of an acre was.
Is it written anywhere in the bill or anything? That's what I'm just.
It's not in this bill.
That's the Army Corps definition. If you have less than a tenth, they do not have any jurisdiction over. So they're looking for those wetlands that they would have jurisdiction over.
In other words, it could be a water puddle. Mm. And you know what puddle.
Well,
are.
It would have to qualify
well,
as a wetland.
A puddle could be a tenth.
But it would have to qualify as a wetland.
Pretty good-sized puddles.
Yeah.
Just if you got the time to think of it, look that up because I don't, not that I don't rely on Mr. Wilson, Mr. Phillips's, you know, expertise in this area, but I wouldn't mind if we got it somewhere. Is there a document stating what it is? I'm just curious.
I got it on my computer if you'd like to see it sometime.
Good job, Sam.
I'll come over to your house tonight.
That's all I have, sir.
I have a general
6 o'clock.
Thank you very much, sir.
I have a general question about legislation.
I'm sorry?
I have a general
come back up.
Question about legislation. Thank you. I got a call from a motel owner who's just outside of Rehoboth Beach and having a very difficult time with noise coming from other establishments. And I told the owner there is a state noise ordinance, and because we learned that, didn't we? And so maybe I could get some help from staff to send that out to the motel owner. Maybe you have, are there any other suggestions of what to tell this person?
What was the nature of the noise?
They open the doors late at night and it's real loud.
Both doors. And refuse to close it for us.
Serving a piece.
Is that the late traffic going by?
People don't want to stay at the motel. It's just too noisy. So, it's hurting this person's business.
Well, if, after the meeting, if you'd like to share that information, we can certainly take a look at it. Anything that the county has jurisdiction over, we can look into.
But it's the county.
Well, it's county land, but not...
The noise ordinance we do not have.
Correct.
Right. So we're saying, well, it's a state ordinance.
Have they called the police? Disturbing the peace?
Yes, but
the police are tired of coming out.
They're too busy sitting in court.
They won't do it, anything. So I just ask for your advice.
I can look into it.
Thank you.
Okay, it is now, well, it's now past time. It's now time for our public hearing on our proposed operating budget for this year and the assessment rolls for sewer and water districts. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
Sure. It's an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2015, and this is the time and place for the public hearing on this matter, and it's a matter of procedure on this ordinance, proposed ordinance. Mr. Lawson will give a short presentation to council, after which the council will have an opportunity to ask questions. Subsequent to that, there will be an opportunity for the public to comment on this, and then after that, the public hearing would be closed. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. On May 20th, 2014, the proposed fiscal year 2015 budget was introduced to County Council. The budget was developed by a budget team consisting of the County Administrator, the Finance Director, and the Deputy Finance Director, with the assistance of the County's directors and their staff. I want to thank everyone for their countless hours in preparing this year's recommendation. To summarize, for the 25th year in a row, the County will not raise taxes. Revenues from the housing sector are projected to be 20% to 30% over the previous year. The county's largest revenue source, realty transfer tax, is expected to climb to over $20 million by the end of this current fiscal year. As a result, budgeted revenues are increasing at a modest level of 2% or $1.8 million for the general fund. This is due in most part to the increase in the housing-related services, a projected surplus, and pension contribution. Additional highlights include no general fund fee increase, a reduction in the total number of employee positions compared to last year's budget, FY 2014, 2% COLA for all employees, a $2 million to the Delaware State Police for 44 additional state troopers, and $575,000 for local law enforcement grants to our local towns, $3.4 million for fire and ambulance services, and $4.5 million to our local libraries. In conclusion, we are recommending the following funding levels for fiscal year 2015 budget: $51.9 million for the general fund, $7.09 million for capital projects in the governmental fund, $34.4 million for the enterprise funds, $14.3 million for the capital projects in the enterprise fund, and $9.51 million for the fiduciary funds. That is all I have in my summary. If at this time, we are happy to answer any questions that you or the public may have.
Questions to council?
Since there are no questions from council, is there anyone from the public that would like to discuss this matter? Is there anyone that would like to comment? Mr. Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. It's awful funny when you raise something that he doesn't get a raise. Oh, no, he didn't raise. I'd sure love to know why it doesn't raise. When you move something from 20 to 30, that's a raise, isn't it? And as far as smoke and mirrors, boy, I tell you what, last year I said something to you guys when you wanted to give everybody a 2% bonus. Then where you were going to give them a merit raise. Well, out of the merit raise and the combination, you said, oh, we can't afford to give everybody a 2% cost of living raise. Couldn't afford it. Yeah, well, why not? It cost you more last year between the merit raises and the bonuses than you would have if you gave everybody a 3% straight across the board raise. And then you also have, and by the way, only 176 employees out of over 500 employees got a merit raise. Well, you mean the rest of them are just bums and they don't do no work? They're not worth anything? No, they're not. Because there again, if they had been, you'd have given them a raise. Because the bonus didn't help them at all. And then you got only the ones that licking boots are the only one that got the merit raise to start with. Because if they hadn't, they wouldn't have got it. And there were three departments out of all the departments got no raises whatsoever. Why not? What was wrong with those departments? You mean to tell me they didn't, we don't need them, or they didn't work? Something's wrong with that picture. And then you got talking about grants. The people out there want to know what, how much money is out there in the grants. It's not $35,000 each, or even $140,000, or $200,000. It's over $7 million in grants. Goes all over. And all you have to do is look for it, and it's all there. And then also, why are you not giving the retirees a raise? Hey, they earned that money. Any way you want to look at it. As you should have been at least giving them a 1% raise, if nothing else. Because years ago when they worked, they didn't hardly make any money. So, and oh, you want to say, well, we can't afford this and we can't afford that. But you can sure afford to every week give away to nonprofits. And by the way, there is no such thing as a nonprofit. Why not? Because somebody is going to put that money at some point in somebody's pocket. Any way you want to look at it. So therefore, it's not a non-profit. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council concerning the budget? Anyone else concerning the proposed 2015 fiscal year budget? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public comment. I'll ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
An ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2015.
Pleasure of council.
I move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to adopt the proposed operating budget for fiscal year 2015. Questions on the motion? Take your vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes, I'd like to say, though, that I've studied this budget very hard. I know I've taxed Todd and Gina quite a bit over the last few weeks looking at it from various angles. And I have to say that even though it is growing, we are at a point that we declared, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago. We told the staff, if you would work with us, if you would accept fewer employees in certain departments, if you would cross-train, if you would take and encourage early retirement for some of your cohorts, there would come a day where we would be in a strong position to reward you for all the effort that you are going to put into getting our budget straight. And I think we've solidly arrived there. And even though this budget is rising, even though it's giving cost of living increases, when in many cases the public are seeing their income reduced, I believe it's warranted. I believe that the employees are working very hard, and we are actually below the level of spending that we were 5 years ago before this council took a very responsible and difficult pathway of setting the ship right. So even though there are some elements in this budget that I may have done a little differently, I think it is the right budget for the right time.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. And we have another public hearing here.
Yes, there's another public hearing. This is time and place for the public hearing on the assessment rolls for sewer and water districts. And Ms. Gina Jennings is going to give a presentation to council, after which council will have an opportunity to question, and then the public will have an opportunity to comment. Ms. Jennings?
The assessment rolls reflect the county's billing records for equivalent dwelling units and a billable front footage for each sewer and water district. These records have been made public for public inspection in the billing office for review, and they are subject to individual appeal via the assessment board review. That is it for the assessment records.
Okay. Any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to make comment concerning the proposed assessment rules for sewer and water districts? Anyone here today that would like to comment? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing and the council close public comment and ask you, Mr. Moore, to read a short title.
There is a motion for Ms.
Jennings.
The motion is to pass the assessment rules as stated in the billing office.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
5-0 yes. Motion carried. Next.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Next is time and place for a public hearing on the ordinance establishing annual sewer charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment, and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts. Again, Ms. Gina Jennings is going to give a short presentation to the council, after which the council does have an opportunity to question. Subsequent to that, the public will be given an opportunity to comment on those charges. Ms. Jennings?
I'm just going to go over the water and sewer highlights. We continue to work towards a uniform sewer rate, with most districts seeing an annual increase of $8. This year is the first year that we will begin unifying our connection fees. We are seeing a 1.3% increase in our EDUs, and there is a 2.4% increase in the operating budget. Assessment rates have either stayed the same or have decreased. There will be about 1,100 customers that will see a decrease in their rate due to debt being paid off. Water and sewer capital projects decreased 20%, and we have proposed a septic rate increase. We are also proposing to continue the 100-foot cap for assessment charges. That is all I have.
Okay. Any questions from council?
No, I'll make a comment more or less. I applaud the staff moving towards uniform rates. I've made this argument for years, and with the connection fees also. I just think we need to focus maybe now in the future on front footage charges, because I don't think they're – I think that's it's an antiquated way of looking at and charging people for sewer, and it's not equitable with, you know, neighbor against neighbor just because their front footage is larger and one smaller. So I would, you know, like us to move in that direction, and we have done real, you know, good things with the other rates. So.
Yeah,
just a comment.
Mrs. Deaver.
I'm kind of worried about the fact that the West Rehoboth system is, understanding is that capacity cannot be grown. I wonder how that would affect our costs in the future. Can you still verify and guarantee those costs? What you know,
yeah.
If you have to use the Indian River, Inland River plant?
Yes. So we had a study done looking at our connection fees to make sure that we can support the future growth. And that is the part of unifying the connection fees to make sure that we have enough moving forward.
And we okay.
So we are good.
That's good.
Any more questions to council?
Not members of the public, Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I want to know, we were subsidizing all these sewers. Are we still subsidizing them? And how much?
No, starting last year we did not. We pulled it out, and it's being taken
out. No subsidies at all?
No subsidies. There's a Ellendale one that was agreed during their assessment when they went live. But we used to subsidize about a $700,000, and it's now taken out of the sewer budget.
Okay.
Okay. Any other members of the public that would like to comment concerning the ordinance establishing the annual sewage charges? Anyone else? Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing and close public comment. If it's okay with council. And Mrs. Jennings, do you have a motion?
This ordinance, an ordinance establishing annual sewer charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment, and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
Just comment that Phillips. Very good to hear our staff talking about paying off debt. Anytime we can do that, I think it's a good thing. And as a result, we're going to see lower rates. So let's continue to pay off debt while we can.
Any more questions, the council? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thanks, Todd and Gina and Kathy and all the other staff that assisted you with putting this budget together and the sewer and water side of it. Great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know.
Julie Cooper, come on down.
The Price is Right.
There you go.
I'm here for the Oak Crest Farms Revised Stormwater Management Phase 1.